share with you my story? Would you share your dollar with me?
10 minutes after 12 noon on WGN Radio, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's your producer. I'm John Williams. I'll be here until 1 o'clock. Anna DeVlantis after that. Busy show for Anna planned. And we've got a busy show planned for you right here as Terry Savage, the financial columnist at TerrySavage.com, joins us again. You can always email her, Terry at TerrySavage.com. Out of the gate, I know there's two things you want to get to, Terry. One is identity issues with unemployment, right?
Well, that's the big headline news, and what I really love to see is that just a little bit ago, there is an announcement from IDES, and I want to quote you. IDES has uncovered and is investigating a widespread fraud scheme that is being conducted nationwide, impacting each state, et cetera, et cetera. They just uncovered it? Wait a minute. We uncovered it for them a week ago. I have all the emails I sent to them saying, this is going to be a big thing. But anyway, they're acknowledging it. A lot of people out there, mostly seniors, who never applied for unemployment, are receiving cards from KeyBank, which is the bank that sends out unemployment benefit card, debit cards, asking them to activate it and get their unemployment benefit. And it is a shock to many. And how they're going to get this money is still a little bit unknown. Either there's someone inside the systems at the state unemployment level in IDES or someone inside KeyBank. The presumption is that when you activate this card saying, what is this, what is this? And a number of people have posted on my blog and emailed me, I got $8,000. Is it mine to spend? No, it's not. By activating it, we think that perhaps you give them access to a duplicate card, which they can use, the scamsters, to withdraw it. And I would just make one more point about this. People say, well, why me? How did they get my information or my dad's information? I mean, I'm nowhere near unemployment. How did they find out why me? Remember all those breaches, Equifax, Target, a number of them? And nothing really ever happened from Equifax. But all those names, Social Security numbers, addresses, birth dates have been floating out there on the dark web. Now the scam artists have figured out there's a way to access a lot of money because these benefits are, you know, the state benefit plus $600 a week, backdated for 6 or 7 weeks, and you're getting up there maybe to double digits. So you were just chosen at random. Probably you qualified because your birth date meant they thought you were old and that you wouldn't know what to do with this thing and you would follow instructions and activate the card. So that's what's going on. That's a big headline today.
How do I know if the card I got is legit or not? Some people are dupes.
If you did not apply for unemployment, we know the card is not legit. Do not activate it. And let me say this. I have tried through all my connections, both through the corporate level at KeyBank and trying to play the system at KeyBank to get through their toll-free number. You cannot call KeyBank, and you basically cannot get through to IDES to report this. So guess what? This is now their problem. What you need to do is call the credit bureaus or contact them. There's an article on the first top column at TerrySavage.com with phone numbers and links to the three credit bureaus. Put a freeze on your credit report. Take a look at your credit report. See if there were any inquiries from banks. Because bank accounts don't show up on your credit report, but if a bank inquired, then you know that they maybe tried to open a bank account in your name, which has happened. So call that bank and say, do you have an account for me? Here's my name and Social Security number. You can go directly to the banks. But other than that, once you've frozen your credit report, don't spend your time trying to report it because they're not taking money out of you. It's the IDES problem and the KeyBank problem to solve. You've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, right. Grab that, Terry. We need to pause here anyway for a couple of updates in the newsroom. But two questions when you come back, and then we'll go to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. But if I am, in fact, due unemployment benefits, that card arrives. But is it possible that as I am due those benefits, I'm getting the bogus card instead, and I'm part of the problem? That's my one question. The second thing is, are you suggesting that this is an inside job, either at the bank or at the state level? In which case, wow, answer that as we take a quick break here. Back to Terry Savage. You can call 312-981-7200. I think you'll get a busy signal if you call right now. As soon as we hang up with one caller, you'll get a chance to chime in. Terry Savage, financial columnist, joins us. Terry, are you suggesting
I have two updates for you that happened during the commercial break. That's because the break was too long.
Wow.
Number one, that call that came through when I didn't have my cell turned off, that was from KeyBank Corporate Communications. Okay. And I got the message which said, this was somebody from way up in corporate communications. I really don't have any information for you. I'm reading the transcription, but I will have someone get back to you shortly. So I might even leave the phone on because if I see that number again,
by all means, yes,
I'll put them on air. And the second thing that happened was the governor acknowledged this widespread fraud, which, by the way, they are saying is system-wide. Let me give you some background on it. And I'm not so sure that this particular debit card fraud is existing outside of Illinois, but maybe they know more at this point. They say that the debit card fraud is because, think about this, if you work for XYZ Corporation and you get laid off and apply for benefits, the first thing IDES does is call XYZ Corporation. They've been paying into the unemployment fund for all their employees, so they want to confirm, IDES does, that you worked there and you were laid off, and then you get your benefit. But when it's self-employed, they have nobody to verify with. So I think it may not just be limited to Illinois, but this debit card fraud is going around the country where people just sign up and say, yeah, I'm unemployed, I have this business, da-da-da-da-da. And that's part of it, that people can just go online and scamsters who can pick up your information off the dark web, sign up for unemployment benefits, and they typically would receive them in a new account they create online. But maybe they found a way to send you a card and also have access, and that would be an inside job. So we're speculating at this point, but IDES has confirmed that, by the way, they uncovered it. No, we did. And the governor has promised that no one will be hurt. I'm going to just follow up. I know everybody has questions. You are not going to be hurt if you get one of these cards and don't activate it and freeze your credit. They're not siphoning money out of your existing accounts. You'll want to watch out for that. We all want to watch out for that. But stop worrying. You got a card loaded with state money. You didn't take it. You didn't activate it. If someone else is going to siphon it off, you keep that card so you can prove that you never did activate
it. Right, but you're describing someone, Terry, who didn't deserve, wasn't supposed to get a card.
Yeah.
Is it clear to people if they are supposed to get a card, which is which?
Yeah, sure. If you applied and then you got a card, you go ahead and activate it. Because what's the worst that could happen? Someone else is stealing the money off of it,
yeah,
and you'll complain.
Yes, yeah, okay. Here comes some calls for you. You ready, Terry?
Okay, ready.
Let's start with Betty. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Betty. How can we help you?
Yes, thank you. I have not received a stimulus check. I know I'm eligible. My husband passed away in May of 2019. I filed married jointly in March of 2020. So
Betty?
I've done that.
Hold on, Betty.
Let me stop you. There is an entire category, suddenly, of widows or widowers who's filed jointly. But let me back up. Remember early on, they sent out stimulus checks to people who were deceased. And they even put the word deceased in the name. They just went off the returns filed in 2019.
Yeah.
Then Steve Mnuchin heard about it and said, no, they should return those checks, which nobody's really doing. But then they started checking death records, and now I know, I've had this confirmed by the IRS. There's an entire category of people like you, women, mostly widows, who didn't get their check either, would have returned their spouse's check. Or the IRS could have withheld their spouse's check. But any time they found a return with one party deceased, which is affecting widows across the country, they have not sent out the stimulus checks. Now, if you go to my website, one of the top columns, the second column down on the left is, didn't get your stimulus check, here's what to do. I don't know when they're going to open up those, go over those accounts again, but try using that Form 3911. There's a link in that column.
Form 3911. Form 3911. Yeah. TerrySavage.com. Ultimately, eventually, the Bettys of the world get their money.
Betty, next year when you file your return, you will file a claim in 2021, next April. You'll file a return alone for 2020. Even if you didn't earn enough, maybe you only got Social Security, you're going to file a return to claim your stimulus check if you don't get it. But it could take a while. That you're part of a big group of people.
Sorry to hear that, Betty. Thanks for the call. And in the meantime, don't eat or buy shoes. Let's go to Carol. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Certainly, this is about unemployment. I applied by phone because I'm terrible on the computer on the 10th of July. The wonderful guy who took my application gave me a claimant number and told me to fax in my tax return, et cetera, which I did. I think it was a couple of days later, I got a letter from, it says, Illinois Department of IDES, and with a debit card. And it said to activate it, which took some doing. I did so. It said the balance was zero. The claimant number on this letter.
Hold on a second, Carol.
Carol, let me tell you something. This is what makes this so complex. That is the typical procedure, the right procedure at IDES. They take your claim. Unless there are any glaring errors, they send you a debit card, which you activate. This is the real thing. And you wait for your money to be deposited. Now, because you only filed, 10 days ago or something like that, you should wait another week or two and keep checking to see if there's money deposited on that card. If not, email me. But it could take as long as 2 or 3 weeks. They send you the card before they send the instructions to load the card. I mean, forgetting all this unauthorized stuff. You filed a claim. You got a claimant number. They send you out a card, and then it takes a couple of weeks to load it up. So be patient, and then email me, Terry at TerrySavage.com. In 2 weeks, if you haven't gotten any money loaded on
Carol, good luck to you.
A couple of weeks worth.
On that, we're going to Susan. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Susan?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John. Well, I've been 16 weeks since I've had that debit card, and nothing is ever loaded. I want to know, at what point do I give up trying to get my unemployment?
Susan?
I'm exhausted from scheduling my life around a phone call.
Yeah.
You're afraid to leave the house. You're afraid to go to an appointment because that just might be when they're going to call. Does a person eventually, do you recommend getting an attorney? And my second point is on this new way of calling in. I did get through to JobLink to update my resume, and then when I called, because then I should have been off that list, when I called again to follow up with IDES, they say, you can't call in again. You already called one time.
Okay, hold on a second. A couple of things there. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. Screwed up is the nicest word I could apply to it. Susan, send me an email. Terry at TerrySavage.com. This is how I spend my weekends. I may have a thought for you, so send me an email. Describe your situation.
16 weeks, though. I mean...
Oh, that's not a surprise. But, Susan, you're going to get your back on employment. Okay?
Okay, but Terry, you're the solution, not the problem. But that is an unsatisfactory answer to you can claim it on next year's income tax return or you'll eventually get it.
No, that's your stimulus. That's your stimulus that you could claim on next year's tax return. Unemployment, you're going to get your back unemployment.
All right, but that's
send me
still,
an email.
You understand how frustrating that answer is. The bills are there. They want to eat today.
Send me an email. See what I can do.
Well, okay. I mean, sure.
Okay.
But why is it that it's taking this long for some of the people to get these things?
I started out with the word screwed up. I don't think I'm allowed to go any further. Don't let me go on a rant. I want to answer these people's questions.
All right, I'll stop talking.
IDES is screwed up. Get me the next person.
Bob, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Go ahead, Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Bob, that's your turn. We'll come back to you. In the meantime, let's go to Tom. You're on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I applied for unemployment in April. was rejected. Got a random phone call on a Saturday morning, said they're going to try and help me requalify. I requalified. I have my UI letter saying that I qualified. I filed my certifications. I just haven't been paid. So I don't know what to do besides putting in my one. You're only allowed one customer service phone call.
Huh.
If you call every day, it says you put in your one call.
Really?
I haven't gotten my call back. Yeah, I tried again today. So it's a two-part question. One is just, what do people do who are supposed to get paid through direct deposit and haven't been paid? But sort of my big question is, I wonder, am I going to get paid all the way back from April when I first applied for unemployment compensation, got rejected, or just the recent part?
Yeah.
Either way, I just would like to get paid, whether it's the whole ball of wax or the small ball of wax. I just haven't been paid.
All right, hold on, Tom.
Yes, you're going to get paid back all your back benefits at some point. Send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com.
And
describe your situation and put your claimant number on there.
Yeah, right. Okay. Boy, some of these questions are sufficiently complicated. I got a million other questions about them. 12:36 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's your producer. I'm John Williams, your host. But all of us are breathlessly waiting round three now with Terry Savage, our guest.
Okay, but there's news in the commercial break.
The president called? The Pope's got your number? Who's now?
No. This is from an email from KeyBank's chief communications person. He sent me the boilerplate BS, called the Illinois Unemployment Department, and I just sent her back a thing that said, first of all, you try it. Nobody can get through that. And by the way, no one can get through your KeyBank customer service to report fraud. So if you could get back to me in the next 10 minutes while I'm on the air, I'll report what you say. Tell me to tell people.
That's because of the identity theft that's rife going through the unemployment.
That's all that identity
program.
Theft. Okay.
All right, here we go back to some phone calls. 312-981-7200. Margaret, you're on WGN Radio. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so happy to talk to a human being. My 24-year-old son applied for unemployment in March. He got an approval. He has never been able to get through to certify. He's now in the queue for a callback. Secondly, he has not gotten a stimulus check. All it says is he's either not eligible or they don't have enough information, but how do we even figure out what to do?
Margaret, number one, go to terrysavage.com, click on Ask Terry a Question, put his name, claimant number, and you'll have to put your email on there, but put his email number in the body of the question. I don't make that all public anyway. And tell me the story about his unemployment, that he was approved but never got the money. Number two, on terrysavage.com, the second column down says something like, didn't get a stimulus check, do this. I just want to make sure that in your 2018 tax return, 2018, did you declare him as a dependent, do you think?
Probably.
Yeah, that's why he hasn't gotten a stimulus check. However, if you did not declare him as a dependent on your 2019 return, which you just filed, next year in April when he files his own 2020 return, he can say, God, you guys goofed up on, thought I was a dependent in 2018, but I was independent on 2019. That's what the law says. I'm putting in a claim for my stimulus check. He'll do that next April for his stimulus check. Okay?
Okay. Okay, so right. Name and claimant number.
When you go to Ask Terry, it says top right-hand corner, there's a yellow highlighted box, Ask Terry a Question. Do it that way, folks. Just send me, post a question. I'll get your email because you have to put that in, and just tell me your story, and I will try and see what I can do.
Margaret,
okay?
Good luck to you, and thanks for the question, and thanks for the answer, too, Terry. So those people eventually will get that money, you think?
Oh, I think they'll get all their back money when they get this unraveled. It doesn't help. I mean, here's the sad thing. By the time you get a big back check for this, because they're obligated to pay
right.
But you'll probably be back at work and maybe at a better job.
Elizabeth, you're on WGN Radio. How can we help you? You're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. It took a little while to get through to you guys. You're very popular.
Yeah.
My daughter filed taxes and as head of household. And I'm a senior, and she put me on as part of her head of household.
Yep.
So I probably am not qualified for the stimulus money, according to what you just said about the previous caller. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, but that's correct. A lot of adult children took their parents, their older parents, because they either live with them or contribute to their support. It was a sensible thing to do, but that disqualifies you from a stimulus check. Now, there may be, we have not discussed this, what's going on, let me take a minute and say, Elizabeth, thank you, and I hope that answers your question. Right now, as we speak, and as we have discussed for the last 2 weeks, they're in a little frenzy in Washington trying to decide what the next stimulus bill will look like. Because there will be one, because both parties want to give you money because they want to buy your vote. That's me being practical and the savage truth, not cynical at all. It's just the reality. But how that will come is very much up for debate. The Democrats have proposed $3 trillion. The Republicans, the headlines say, propose $1 trillion. The Democrats want to extend the $600 a week unemployment benefits that end this week. Will be the last week that current recipients in Illinois get that $600 check. The Democrats want to do another round of targeted stimulus, which should maybe remove some of the restrictions like elderly people who are declared dependents or college-age students who are declared dependents. Yep. Maybe they will get, but it won't be as, who knows how much money it would be. And the Republicans want immunity from lawsuits. The president, for some reason, and the Republicans want it targeted at business to create jobs. That's a big philosophical thing. The president, for some reason, has decided that he wants to eliminate FICA, the payroll tax, which is what funds Social Security and Medicare. And since, I mean, you know, I'm very upset about that, and I think everybody should be, because we all know Social Security and Medicare are underfunded and running out in 15 years or so. But more, it can't pay the full benefits. I don't want to say running out empty, but won't be. It will be paying money only that they can get in from current workers. That the funds have been depleted with all this unemployment. So to suspend the FICA tax, which is some, you know, Kudlow or somebody must have told them that was a good idea. It would be good for businesses because they pay the other half of it. So that's what he wants. So this is all being debated, and they're all trying to get home for vacation, and they're trying to do it before the unemployment bonus runs out. So that's what's going on.
Do you think it will be extended? Do you think it will be, when, what amount will it be, Terry?
Oh, I'd have to have a crystal ball. I think they will extend unemployment benefits, but I would bet you anything it won't be $600 a week.
Maybe $400.
I think there will be a stimulus. I think it will be broader. The income limits may be lower. But I don't know about the dollar amount of it.
I've heard that it'll go from 75,000 to maybe 47,500 or 50,000, something like that.
You know, this is all what's being negotiated behind closed doors with masks off in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Okay, Terry. Well, then we'll just wait and see. But a lot of people are really hanging on pins and needles. They're getting their last deposits this week, and they I'm hearing from them this week, Terry. They need that money.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And by the way, Washington knows it. So I'll tell you what, instead of calling me about that, write your congressperson.
Darren LaHood is coming on our show tomorrow morning. He's a Republican congressman from Illinois. We found one, so he's going to join us tomorrow morning. We'll ask him about that and encourage him to push that through. Terry, thank you for your time.
Always good to be with you. Remember, go to terrysavage.com, push the Ask Terry button. Just put in the top line, unemployment or stimulus. But if you have a stimulus question, read the column on the left. If you want to know what to do if you got one of those fraudulent or unsolicited IDES cards, read the column on the left, what to do. There are links to the credit bureaus to freeze your credit. So a lot of those questions are answered if you just look across the top front page of my website.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
TerrySavage.com, 1243 on WGN Radio. Steve Grzanich is in the WGN Radio newsroom with the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines has tallied up the damage from the pandemic in the previous quarter. The airline lost $1.6 billion, and actually that's a little better than analysts were expecting. People are hesitant to fly, and United is currently losing about $40 million a day. But even that is better than the $100 million a day it was losing in April. Target is expanding its fresh grocery pickup service. The retailer launched fresh and frozen grocery pickup in the Midwest a few weeks ago. Now the same-day service is available in more than 1,000 stores in 47 states. program offers in-store and drive-up curbside pickup of produce, dairy, meat, and frozen products. Target hopes to expand the service to 1,500 locations by the holidays. And big businesses are standing up for green energy amid the pandemic. McDonald's is among 30 companies behind a letter to Congress asking lawmakers to include renewable energy in the next round of COVID relief funding. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Update us on the markets, Jordan Burnfield.
Will do. The Dow is up 53 points right now. The NASDAQ is down 12, and the S&P 500 is up 6.
And Orion Samuelson's looking at the agribusiness scene. Go ahead, O.
Okay, here are the numbers that the Chicago Board of Trade, the September wheat contract is up 6 cents a bushel, September corn is up 4.5 cents a bushel, and August soybeans are trading higher, up 4 cents a bushel. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the October lean hog contract is down 30 cents a hundredweight. The August live hog contract down 52 cents a hundredweight, and the August feeder cattle contract down 7 cents a hundredweight. Despite the ongoing fight between China and the United States, the last one being the closing of the consulate for China in Houston, Texas, the Chinese, for the last 4 days, have purchased American farm products. And here are the latest for today. First of all, soybeans, 211,000 tons, destination unknown. But these sales are to China, 262,000 tons, and 387,000 tons, plus 66,000 tons, all sales made today to China. Two major farm shows are off the calendar for 2020, but to fill this gap, Farm Progress is launching the first ever Farm Progress Virtual Experience, the FPVX. This event will be powered by Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days. It will run 3 days, September 15, 16, and 17. Don Torti, who was Senior Vice President of Farm Progress, said the beauty of a virtual event is that we will open the virtual gates on September 15th with a slate of field demonstrations and rich content, but once live farmers can engage the contest all year long. The event does kick off with something special, according to Matt Youngman, who is the Farm Progress Show manager. With the demonstration program we've ever conducted being the biggest, with corn harvest, tillage, hay, and cattle equipment. And Max Armstrong will be on hand for the 3-day online event as the host for the event as well. Again, September 15, 16, 17, FPVX. That's the Farm Progress Show virtual event. And it will take place September 15, 16, and 17. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
Dennis Rodkin writes about real estate for ChicagoBusiness.com. Dennis, welcome back. How are you today?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm real good. So the real estate scene is kind of interesting in this pandemic, isn't it? And you're writing about how some people are who would normally buy a house in the city, buying them in the suburbs, right?
Well, you know, so far all we really know is that they're shopping in the suburbs. We don't yet have numbers. There are a lot of real estate agents who are telling me that there are people buying in the suburbs, but we don't have data yet showing where people are coming from or going to. But there are a lot of reasons that people would do this. You know, I live on the lakefront. The parks were closed. The 606 was closed. The restaurants and other things that make the city what I love were closed and could close again in the future if there are other pandemics. Some people start to say, well, what about the suburbs where my friends have yards and the parks didn't close and that sort of thing?
So if you're listening to this and you're in the suburbs or maybe the exurbs, your real estate is a pretty good bet right now, a pretty good investment right now.
Yes, probably, but the truth is, John, real estate in Chicago, I mean, it's happening quite a bit. again, we haven't yet seen the sales. We've seen the shopping. I have heard real estate agents say the city people will be coming, suburban agents say the city people will be coming to see your house. But I don't think anybody should really be staking a claim on that yet, because there also are reasons that people have stayed in the city. For example, I work downtown. I never want to be in the kind of nightmare traffic that may develop if people stop using. So I want to be able to bike to work or walk to work, that sort of thing. So I don't yet want to sort of say, yes, people are going to buy in the suburbs, put your house on the market. But it does appear that there's been a lot of looking.
Maybe that's why the market's a little tight right now and prices have held, because people are not ready to buy or sell. They're trying to wait and see how this thing shakes out.
It's really interesting. Week after week, I expected to see the data show, or I wondered if the data would show a drop, but prices have not gone down.
Yeah.
In the, I think it's 16 weeks now since the crisis started. Prices have stayed at approximately what they were in the corresponding time a year ago, or just slightly above. Now, our prices were starting to go up pretty solidly in the months before the pandemic, in the early months of 2020. So what we might have seen had we not had the pandemic was much more price growth. So the fact that it's flat may we don't know how much of the wind was taken out of it. We don't know if prices would be much farther up, or if they'd be quite negative now because of the pandemic. But some of this is that we're riding on the real growth that was starting in the beginning of the year, and also the fact that interest rates are so low that people are willing to get out there and buy as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's
because you can afford so much.
Yeah, how about it? That's not a small factor, I suppose. This is anecdotal. I mentioned this to Elise Glink the other day, but I've heard personally of instances where people bid over the ask and it was still competitive, particularly if you're in a certain price point, right? Like, I don't know,
yes.
$300,000 versus $600,000, say.
Yeah, in the $200,000 to $400,000 range, multiple offers, home selling over the asking price, there's quite a bit of that going on. I have a story out about which places have had really strong sales during the pandemic. And when talking to real estate agents in some of those places, like Calumet Heights in the city, Edison Park in the city, Westchester, Berkeley in the suburbs, I hear a lot about multiple offers. And part of that is an awful lot of people pulled their houses off the market that were on the market before the pandemic, and others didn't put it on the market who had expected they would in the spring. So inventory's tight, but if I'm a serious buyer, I'm going to get out there and find what I want. So if you had a really nice property on the market, you probably attracted multiple offers. But again, in that like 200 to 400 range, luxury properties, not quite getting the same activity.
Less than a minute left, Dennis. Anything else you want to pass along for buyers or sellers out there?
Well, I think one of the important things for people to keep in mind is that prices have not dropped. So don't. This may be a mindset from March and April, but I heard a lot of people told me either prices have dropped or prices will drop. Very, very matter of fact. And I think one thing that people should really keep in mind is that that has not been true. So if you expected a pandemic era bargain, first of all, that time has passed, but it's not happening. Prices have stayed pretty solid. Now, will they a couple of months from now? We don't know. But with low interest rates, with people who really do need to, some people are shifting their priorities. I needed to be to a certain school district. Now I'm not as concerned. We're both going to work at home, so we need an extra room, whatever it is. There's a lot of buying going on, and so prices have stayed pretty solid. Don't expect that you're going to get one of those recession-era bargains that you and I used to talk about on the air 10 years ago.
Hey, don't get greedy. The interest rates are a gift from God, so that ought to help. Dennis says me.
Is that where they come from?
Dennis Rodkin reports on real estate. Read chicagobusiness.com. Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks, John.